And that brings us to an introduction of Kitty LeBounty and Molly Kabler. The Garden Ladies are in the studio as we speak. And welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's very much a pleasure. I've been listening every morning while everyone's been on and talking, and I've been patiently waiting for my turn to comment on the beautiful mugs, to comment on this amazingly important radio station that I have been listening to since I moved here. And I'm grateful for.
Well, I'm glad that you're here finally, because you have a lot to say about the mugs and the community and the station, as well as I think a sneak peek of the garden show, which is going to happen today, and you will be addressing what topic?
Well, today's show is about rhododendrons. It's a favorite topic for us, and it's a hugely favorite topic for our listeners. Every year we get a lot of questions and comments about rhododendrons, and I think one of the reasons is that many people that move here don't come from a place where they can grow rhododendrons, so it's both a delight and a challenge for them. And we'll talk specifically about that during the show, but I want to say just in advance, we are taking questions today, but not calls. So call and the telephone answerers will write down the questions. So that's the sneak peek on the garden show.
But I have one kind of synopsis sentence for the rhododendron show and for the radio. It's fertilize now and enjoy all year round. Because it works for rhododendrons, it works for Raven Radio. It's perfect.
And now is the key word, and you can do that now by calling 747-5877 or kcaw.org. Just had somebody in Yakutat use kcaw.org. Thank you so much, Gayla Valley. Very nice to hear from you. And we also have a couple other thank yous to make. And I think, Garden Ladies, you might be able to see when we've got... We're headed towards 9 o'clock, and every pledge between now and 9 o'clock, Tom and Gretchen Clark will add $50 to the total. And so we've got 10 of those, about 10 of those left. So it is time to make your pledge for the garden show. All sizes, all types of plants, all blossoms. Fertilize now and enjoy later. 747-5877. I'm going to go ahead and say Kenneth and Patricia Feister. Thank you so much for your contribution from Port Alexander. Great to see.
Right.
Can't pick just one thing as a favorite. They listen all day. Hope everyone understands how valuable you are, and they want to help reach the goal. So thank you very much, Kenneth and Patricia. Also, Don Surgeon and Galen Payne. Happy to cost Tom and Gretchen some money. So that's good to hear. And the Osborne family and the Wolf family as well. So we've got five towards the goal. I think we can get 14 total, so about nine left. And so now's the call to time. Now's the time to make your pledge for the garden show. Questions, give them to the phone answers if you got them. You don't need to make a pledge. If you've already pledged, you can call in with a quick question. The garden show will start in just a few minutes. This isn't it right now. This is the Ken and the Garden Ladies show. And so I'll get out of the way when it's time for the roadies to hit the fan. But in the meantime,
smart idea.
We've got some things to take care of. Charlie and Jan Clark, thank you very much for your web pledge right now. And so that brings us down to eight. So we've got eight of those things left. And Kitty, I think it bears saying again, what'd you wake up this morning with?
Fertilize now, enjoy all year. It worked. It really does. I was like so proud of that. I mean, usually I am not the most articulate person in the room by a long shot. So when I have this sentence that I just love, I am like proud of it, and I'll repeat it over and over and over again.
I think it should be a t-shirt. So the Raven Radio Spring Drive total is $55,180. A long way to go yet to our $82,000 mark. And that's where you come in. And the number is 747-5877. Or, like Charlie and Jan, kcaw.org. So, 25 years, the garden show? Is that really?
It's scary. I think it really is true.
It's really true. And the reason I know how to mark this is that the first garden shows had a tiny baby noise in the background because there was a baby in a little tiny seat in the production room when we were recording the first couple of shows. And that person is of an age that tells us this is the 25th year of the garden show. So, yeah, and the other thing that's pretty fun is we've spawned a couple of other garden shows. Ed Byarski was the original co-host. Kitty wasn't with me yet. And he actually does a garden-type show on both KTOO in Juneau and KFSK in Petersburg. So it started here at KCAW, Raymond Radio, and now it's a thing. You know, several people have said to me, oh, you guys have done this for so long, you're so good. I mean, the people are just beautifully complimentary and say, well, maybe you should go national or you should go this or that. But we always say no, and the reason is this is a local service because it's about what happens here locally. So local community radio is the very best place for this kind of show.
So you're not going to take the advice you're about to give on rhododendrons and be able to apply it in Minnesota or Florida or anywhere else?
It's interesting because it really wouldn't apply. I mean, one, there's not too many rhododendrons in either of those places, and that's another reason why, you know, we're going to have a whole show about rhododendrons because it's a significant plant in our community. You've never heard us do a whole show about cactuses.
Mm-hmm. And we won't.
Not yet. Not unless we're going to do, like, the greenhouse gardening.
747-5877 is the number. We're looking for 8 more pledges to be able to grab all of the challenge from Tom and Gretchen Clark. Tom is retiring soon, and they want to help Raven Radio celebrate by helping us get to the goal. So, kciw.org, 747-5877. We're looking for your pledge now. Every pledge before 9 o'clock, they'll throw in 50 extra bucks. And so we've got 8 more of those available. If you haven't made your pledge, you can do that. You can certainly upgrade and consider that dollar a day level if you have not thought twice about that in a while. A buck a day for the mobile access, for your computer access, for your radio access. It's an expanding service in these days of shrinking budgets. We're trying to do more, but we're asking you to step up and do a little bit more too, because it's worth it. It's a great service, and it brings you the Garden Show. Ladies, I'm going to go ahead and say the phone numbers one more time before I get on out of here, because I want to let folks call in with their question. You won't be live on the air, but you can have it handed in, and Molly and Kitty will answer your question. It's going to be an abbreviated show. We're going to come back and thank the 8 people that have also pledged so that we can get Tom and Gretchen's challenge met. So the numbers are 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877 or kcaw.org.
Welcome to the Garden Show.
I'm Molly Kabler.
And I'm Kitty LaBounty.
And this is such a special version of the show. We're delighted with how many people are here in the studio. And as previously mentioned, this is a time you can get your questions answered. Although we're not taking your call, we are taking your questions. And we'd love to take your pledge, but really we do want to talk to you about growing rhododendrons in Southeast Alaska.
The glorious part about rhododendrons is this is an absolutely great, almost perfect shrub for most of Southeast Alaska. It likes low pH soils, so it likes acidic soils. It likes coolish weather. It likes wet weather. These are ideal. We do not have to fight to get our rhododendrons to grow for us.
The other great thing about rhododendrons, they're very shallow rooted creatures. And if you live in a place where you don't have a lot of soil, which is often typical in Southeast Alaska, it means you don't need a lot of soil. You don't need a deep soil. You need root room for your rhododendrons, and you need to pay attention to the soil zone that's the same size as your rhododendron. It's called the drip line. On anything within the drip line of a rhododendron, you really want to pay attention to what that's like. And because they're so shallow rooted, I think, or maybe it's just because of who they are, they like a lot of air and aeration around their roots. And one of the only don't do's for rhododendrons in Southeast Alaska is smothering their roots in a heavy, thick bit of organic material.
Yeah, the only other don't do is plant your rhododendron in the middle of a lawn. with a kind of a small little hole dug into the lawn, and that's because your lawn wants a higher pH. Your lawn wants things more neutral, and so then you'll be fighting all the time, well, do I save the lawn or do I save the rhododendron? So don't put yourself in that position. Separate those two objects. You know, don't have those kind of fighting, competing interests happening. But other than putting too much organic mulch on the top, other than trying to have it live in a higher pH, it's kind of hard to go wrong with a rhododendron. I guess there's one more. So this is the third one, is don't over-fertilize your rhododendron. You can, in fact, kill your rhododendron that way very nicely.
So the main question we usually get is, so my rhododendron isn't blooming, what do I do? And sometimes that's because you haven't fertilized it properly. But more often than not, it's because your rhododendron is in a shady location or an increasingly shady location. But those are the two main issues for rhododendrons in Southeast that don't seem to bloom. What's your regime like for fertilizing, and is there enough sunlight for it? Other places in the world, it'll say plant a rhododendron in shade. And that's because the harsh drying sun in other climates is a problem. Well, our sun isn't particularly harsh or drying because our climate's cool and rainy. So most of our rhododendrons want as much sun as possible.
Yeah, so the biggest rhododendron, the biggest, oldest rhododendron I have in my yard, which is about 10 feet wide and probably about 5 feet tall, is growing in full blazing sun, but it's also growing in deep, nice forest organic soil. And even when it does get hot and sunny, there's enough moisture that it's just not ever going to be a problem. I've never watered my rhododendrons. I've never mulched, especially not the big rhododendrons. It's kind of impossible. You'd basically be crawling under it. So I think it's a lot to do with, you know, being at just the right latitude. You know, the angle of the sun is just the right for us, so we can have full sun in that. The rhododendrons, like Molly said, in my yard that don't bloom quite as well, that are getting better, are actually on the shadier side of my house. So you can go ahead and plant your rhododendron in a sunny spot, and it will reward you for that immensely.
So one of the things I did make the mistake of with my rhododendrons was over-fertilizing. And it's easy to do if you're using commercial granular fertilizer, which Kitty and I both use. It seems to have exactly the right combination of things for rhododendrons and azaleas, by the way. But you can't overdo. So you need to just look at the packaging, read what it says, and then be even slightly more modest, perhaps.
So we did get a question, and it's, if I forget to fertilize now, is it bad to fertilize other times, or just not as good as fertilizing right now?
Very good question. So right now is a good time. And the way you know in the spring when to fertilize is you watch your rhododendron buds, and when they start swelling, that means the plant is taking up active moisture and nutrients from the soil. So as soon as you see the bud swelling, perfect time in the spring to fertilize. You can fertilize a little bit later, but the one thing you don't want to do is fertilize late in the season, because rhododendrons set their new growth and their buds, they're pretty much done with that work about mid-July. And if you fertilize after that, you encourage the plants to do something that won't survive the winter.
So I will often fertilize. I will just confess right now that I'm going to be a contrarian, and I tend to fertilize at the end of July or early August, but I try not to fertilize any later than that, because we do have a pretty reasonable still growing season happening after that. But once you get into September, or especially October or November, yeah, you're basically pouring fertilizer out, and it's just going to get washed away. It's not going to do anything. So yeah, I would definitely earlier. So, and sometimes if I'm really on top of things, I fertilize now, and I'll fertilize in July or August.
Right. So I usually fertilize twice a year also. So now, and then once the bloom is completely over, that's when the plant's powering up for the next year. It's going to set those buds for the following year and hold them all through the winter in a fairly, you know, dormant
right.
state. And so right then is a perfect time, just as you see the plant developing those buds for the next year. Great time to fertilize again.
Yeah, and it takes, I've noticed, I have a rhododendron that's blooming, just starting to bloom now. Actually, one is in pretty reasonable bloom now. There's hideous flowers, but whatever. It's another subject that I've ranted on before. But the last one is usually in bloom in June. So we have a really nice, long rhododendron blooming season that I am super happy with. So you can have a number of rhododendrons. We are trying to count ours. I think between rhododendrons and azaleas, I have about 10, and Molly has about 12. So this is a great plant for here. But at any rate, it takes, with that kind of spread in different types and varieties of rhododendrons, you can get a long blooming season.
The other great thing about rhododendrons, they can provide a lot of different color and form in your garden. Obviously, the color of the petals of the flowers, highly variable. So if you don't like pink, go for one of the blazing red ones or one of the deep purple ones or even the yellow or the white ones. So color is one thing, but they also come in different leaf sizes and shapes. Some rhododendrons reach really tall and get wide. Some are very small-leaved and low-growing and spread out. So if you can do a little bit of research, you could really have some beautiful architecture, and then they're a broad-leafed evergreen. They keep that green on all season and really provide something of great interest all year round.
So the one other thing to research is research very carefully how big that plant is going to get. So I remember Vulcan is probably my favorite rhododendron in my yard because it's like screaming red. You can see it all the way across Eastern Channel, I swear. It's just amazing. But it is a little bigger than I thought. I was thinking it would be like 5x6. It's easily 5x10. And it's starting to kind of eat into other shrubs that I'm going to have to just move. Fortunately, most shrubs they're not too hard to move, so I can move things around. But do some careful research into ultimate size and I know it sounds crazy, put the right size plant in the right size place.
You might think that, well, I'll just get by with pruning it and keeping it into shape. And rhododendrons are graceful creatures, but they don't look very good when they're pruned. And pruning really removes the bloom because that set the season before. So they're not a good shrub to have the idea that you're going to shape it up with your pruners to fit into the landscape that you have. There are plants that do fine with pruning, but rhododendrons are not the ones.
Besides that, you know, why do more work? I'm sorry, I like gardening, but there's always plenty of work to do.